Good luck, everyone. Thank you all for coming. And I'd like to thank Rav Pesach Krohn for coming tonight. He Rav Hashem is on a very busy schedule. He was coming from Yeshiva Zohar Chonon, where they kept him longer than expected, as he got here just a few minutes after schedule. The Krohn and Center Rosenbaum family goes back quite a while. The yeshiva that we're in, Yeshiva Deres HaTorah, is named after my grandfather, Rabbi Dov Rosenbaum. And my grandfather's wife, my grandmother, and Rav Pesach's mother were best of friends. I don't think there's anyone in the world that spoke to my grandmother more than Rav Pesach's mother. They spoke every single day, all the time. I was always clicking in on that conversation. And the families were for many years, for decades, the families have been close together. My grandmother just passed away, and it was just her Shloshim, and Rav Pesach spoke there at the Shloshim, and also by the extended family, we have other members of the family, the Brodies, who also, Tuvia Brody, also they just had an eskar for him. But the families also in Chaim, Baruch Hashem, have been intertwined in many ways. And Rav Pesach has been representing the yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael and also in the States many times. It's a big honor for us to have him here with us this Matzah Shabbos. Without further ado, Pesach.
I'll tell everybody. It is such a great honor and a great thrill to come back to this wonderful yeshiva. One of the greatest moments of my life as far as speaking is concerned is a couple years ago I was here at Shana Rabbah at midnight, and it was just absolutely electric. It was a great night to be here and to speak in front of Rav Center. I've been to the yeshiva. I know what the yeshiva does. It's almost like a father to many, many children that Rav Chaim Tzvi is, and all the trips that you take and all the places, it makes just such a broad spectrum of what a yeshiva is supposed to be about. The yeshiva is not only learning. Rav Shachman said to Rav Gifter, yeshiva is supposed to build a personality. And when a bachar finishes learning here, and he goes back, I know you, right? Oh my gosh. So you build a personality, and that's what's great about this yeshiva. Rabbi Rosenbaum and I have been friends for many, many wonderful years when he was in New Jersey and he was in Marbetz Torah in Atlanta. And it's just such an honor and a pleasure to see you. And it's just a great, you have two wonderful, wonderful people here, and I hope we'll be able to be inspired together. There's a very interesting pasuk. And for those of you taking notes, if you want to look it up, it's an Amos Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches. And it tells us like this. Aryeh Shog, if a lion roars, Milo Yira, wouldn't you be afraid? So Aryeh is spelled Aleph Reish Yud Hey. And Mefarshim say Aryeh stands for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashanah Rabbah. Aryeh Shog, you're walking on Rechov Shamgar, or you're walking on Shmuel Hanavi. By the way, I once said that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, Golda Meir becomes Shmuel Hanavi. When you leave Yerushalayim, Shmuel Hanavi becomes Golda Meir. Isn't that interesting? But anyway, but let's say you're coming on Shmuel HaNavi and you see a lion roaring. Wouldn't you be afraid? Aryeh Shog. So these days are roaring to us. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. So we have to have great trepidation when we come to these days. So I remember my Rav, Rav Shlomo Tarabam, once mentioned this. This is a very famous thing. And he mentioned this Yom Kippur at night by Kol Nidre. And then he said something fascinating. He said, I don't understand the pasuk. Chol Moed Sukkos, I once took my kids to the Bronx Zoo, and as we were walking, we heard a lion roar in the distance, and nobody was afraid. My kids weren't afraid, I wasn't afraid. So what does it mean? Aryeh Shog Milo Yira. So he said, of course I understood. The lion's in a cage. So if the lion's in a cage, you got nothing to worry about. But then he said something fabulous. If you take a look, the last tefillah, and Hashanah Rabbah, the Yerotzin, you know what the Lashon is? Yehiratzain v'tosir mechitzas habarzel. Hashem, remove that iron curtain, that iron wall, hamafsekes, that separates beinenu ubeinecha, between you and us. In other words, if there is an iron wall, if there's a cage, Hashem kaviyachos in a cage, so when he roars, we're not going to be afraid. That's why Rav Shlomo's family, in the Bronx Zoo. They're not afraid because the lion's in a cage. So what we have to be mispalel is that that barrier that faces us, that iron barrier between us and Hashem, is removed so that we can feel the closeness of Hashem and we can feel that roar. But I want to tell everyone, Elul is not a time to be broken. A person thinks back on his life, thinks back on the past year. A person can have such chalishas adas. You know, I fell so low. But Aryeh Shog, it's true, the lion roars. But you know what Bullock said about the Jewish people? He said about Klal Yisrael, Hein Om Kelavi Yakum. That's in Bamidbar, Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Hein Om, we are a nation, we get up like a lion. Uchari is not so, we raise ourselves like a young cub, like a young lion. In other words, there's no question that we have to fear the days of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashana Rabbah, but we have to know that we have the capacity to answer back. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. How are we going to answer this roar? We're trying to get rid of that mechitzas habarzel, that iron curtain that separates us between Hashem, so we can feel Elul, and we can feel all the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Maaseh Simei Tshuva, Hashanah Rabbah, but we have to be able to answer. How are we going to answer? So I want to tell you something very interesting. Some of you know that I am a moel. That's my full-time profession. And Baruch Hashem, come out every day. I do brisin. So names are very important to me. Many times I help family give a name. Like, there are a lot of brisin that I do, people are not from. And they need a P name. You can't believe how many kids in Long Island are named Pesach, right? You know, they're looking for a P name. And I tell them, I got a great name for you. But, it's very interesting, when I wrote the book for Art Scroll on Bris Mila many years ago, my favorite section was about names. And listen to this, you'll see something amazing. Right before Hashem, why do we get a name out of Bris? Because Avram Avinu's name was changed right when he had the Bris. The Pasuk tells us, Hashem says to Avram, V'lo yikari oyda shimcha Avram. Your name is no longer going to be Avram, v'hoya shimcha Avraham. You're going to get a letter Hey in your name. Now you're going to have a new name, Avraham. Fine, so Hashem adds the letter Hey. But what is amazing is right before he does the bris, Hashem says, wait a second, I got something else to tell you. Vayomer Elokim al Avram, Sarai ishtecha, your wife Sarai, loy tikra eshema Sarai. She's not going to be Sarai anymore. Ki Sarah shema. Her name's going to be Sarah. She also has a Hey. So I was thinking, Rabbi Yishlam, you got 22 letters in the Jewish alphabet. You gave away the Hey to Avram. Can't find another letter to give to Sarah? Why did they have to have both the same letter? What's the significance? There must be something special here about the letter Hey. And it occurred to me an answer. The Gemara in Menachos tells us something amazing. Menachos Chav Tes Amud Beis. Eila Toldos Hashamayim Vaharas. This is the history. This is the story of how Hashem created the world. Behi Boram. He created it with a Hey. What does that mean? Take a look. I brought you the letter Hey, right? Me in Sesame Street. Here, yeah, this is, you know... Brought to you by the letter Hey, okay? Well, what's so special about the letter Hey? That Avram Avinu got that name, and Sarah got that name, got that letter? And the Gemara says the world was created like a Hey. You know what that means? Because there's no floor. A person can chas v'shalom. If he does averus, can fall all the way down to the end. There's no level that a person can't reach. Tachtis, mama, she can fall all the way. But a person has to know this door is open for tshuva. That's what this door is. That's what it means that Hashem created the world with the letter Hey. If a person is not careful, and he doesn't think, and he doesn't have foresight about it, what he's doing, what he's saying, how he's dressing, what he's listening to, what he's watching to, he could fall all the way down. But a person has to know he could always come back. Don't be broken. Whatever happened in the past happened. You could walk in here. Now watch what the Torah says. You won't believe this. Hashivenu, right? That's the bracha of tshuva. And it's interesting. Every bracha, if you daven Nusach, Sfarad, or Ashkenaz, every bracha, and the middle brachas are different. Rifa'enu, Sfarad has a few extra words, and Atachayin, they have a few extra words, and Tekaba Shefa, always, they're always different, Shmakaleinu for sure. The only bracha that's the exact same by Ashkenazim and Sfaradim is the bracha of Tshuva, Hashivenu. What number bracha is Hashivenu? Number 5. How does it begin? With the letter Hey. How does it end? Who knows? How does the bracha end? Haroite? The tshuva, it's Hey, right? Begins with Hey, ends with Hey. Zok the tour, 5 and 5 is 10, that's Aseres Yomei Tshuva. Oh, now we understand, if that's the case, that Hey represents the idea of tshuva. That's why Avram Avinu, who is the father of all the Balei Tshuva, that's why he got the letter Hey. And that's why Sarah, who was the mother of all the women who did tshuva, she also had to get the letter Hey. There was no other letter you could give her. Why? because she represented tshuva. She represented teaching everyone what it means to come back. And that's what we want to learn tonight. We know that no matter what happened, where you came from, no matter what you did, the door's always open. That's what it means that the world was created with a hey. So when we come to Elul, and a person could feel, oy vey, what I did in the past, I'm so embarrassed, it's awful. Teretz says, there's a new beginning. No matter where you fell, that's what Elul is all about. Elul makes us feel that trepidation of everything that we did. But we shouldn't be broken, we should be inspired, because we are that nation that can answer, hein om, kolavi, we're going to change, we're going to become better, we're going to become higher. How are we going to do it? I'll tell you how we'll do it. It's very interesting, you know, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, perhaps one of the most moving tefillahs is that tefillah of Nasana Toikef. Anybody who has a heart, anybody who has an emotion, if you really think about the words, mi yichye, mi yomos, who's going to live and who's going to die? And you think about, it's not only old people who die. We all know young people, nebach, terrible accidents, terrible illnesses, young people, we all know young almanas. I'm involved in an organization called Lynx. Should never know from it. If any of you are chas v'shalom with that matzav, just contact me, you'll see. Every Thursday, I give a brocha. I put a brocha on a recording. More than 350 Yisayimim and Yisayimis get that brocha every Friday at 1 o'clock. Because I was a Yosem at 21. I know what it means to live with a mother who's an almana. My mother was an almana for 40 long years. She never got over the passing of my father, never. And she never remarried. I knew that she couldn't get remarried because her mind was always, in that way, so makusha to my father. It's not necessarily the best thing after a person passes away. Everybody should be able to remarry, but for whatever reason, she couldn't. So I knew what it means to grow up with an almana and yesemim. So there's this organization called Lynx. Lynx, we're in it together. So I remember the first time that I met all, it's more girls today than boys, because boys now have a special organization called Shlemi's Place, after Shlemi Gross, all the shalom. But I remember the first time that I was at this Lynx organization, and I said to them, I realized that many of your fathers or your mothers, whoever you lost, would give you a bracha Friday night. And now you don't have that bracha. I'll be happy to give you the bracha. So they said, Rabbi Kron, we have to call you? I said, no, chas v'shalom, you don't have to call me. I'm going to make a recording. And 1 o'clock, just make sure your phone is available, whether it's a home phone or cell phone, whatever you want to register, and you will get that call. So that night, there must have been about 30 girls that were there at the first meeting. So 20 signed up. So I made the bracha the next Thursday, and I get a printout, and I see that I was surprised, only 10 picked up the phone. And then the next week, there were more girls that registered, but only half of them picked up the phone. And finally, I said to the head of the organization, why are these girls not picking up the phone? They registered to get the bracha. And Mamash, what she said to me made me cry. She said, Rabbi Kron, don't you understand? These kids, they don't want to hear the bracha on the phone only once, because if they hear it, and then they can't hear it again. They let it go on their message, on the cell phone or the home phone, so they could listen to it 4 times before Shabbos. That's what it means, being sensitive. That's what a Yosem is all about. So, mi yichya, mi yomos, it could happen. It could happen to anyone, at any time. None of us are immune. Mi yishoket, mi yitaref, who's going to live in serenity, who's going to be distraught, mi ya'oni, mi ya'osher, who's going to be stricken with poverty, who's going to become wealthy. And then we say 3 words. And I always wondered, why did Chazal pick out these 3 words, these 3 characteristics? Tshuva, tefillah, and stoka. Why these 3? Tshuva means obviously repenting. Tefillah, yeah. No, thank you very much. It's always good to have a grandson nearby. Two of them. And so tshuva is repentance. Tefillah is obviously prayer. And stoka is giving stoka. So it occurred to me, tshuva is inward. Tefillah is upward. And stoka is outward. Those are the 3 directions of a yid. 3 directions, inward, upward, and outward. And that's what we have to focus on. How are we going to change inward? How are we going to change upward? And how are we going to change outward? So I want to give you an example with each one, what I believe tshuva is all about, part of tshuva. So I want to tell you a very tragic story that happened in our neighborhood many years ago, and something that someone said, as you'll see in a moment. In our neighborhood many years ago, I would say it's almost 20 years already, it was a terrible fire the day before Shavuot HaTamuz. was in the Silberglight family home. Nebach, the fire spread so fast, there was the grandmother passed away, one of the older girls passed away, and one of the younger girls was burned severely. I remember I visited her in the hospital, it was impossible to look at her. Nebach's whole body was covered, it's terrible, with black and all. Thank you, that's what I was looking for, thank you so much. And so, and then Nebach, on Chol HaMoed Sukkah, she passed away. Now, Chol HaMoed Sukkah is a person not allowed to give a hesped, because it's a yontif. But believe me, when they brought in that coffin with that little girl into the funeral home, everybody fell apart. Because everybody knew the family had suffered so much. They lost a bubby, they lost an older sister, and now these poor parents lost another child. So on that day, you couldn't give a hesped. So Rabbi Arya Ginsburg, I don't know if you know Rabbi Arya Ginsburg, so he's a Rav in Long Island today, big Talmud Chacham, learned the Chofetz Chaim for many years. So his daughter was very friendly with this girl who had just passed away. So he got up and he said something remarkable. You should remember this for the rest of your life. And it said like this. The Vilna Gaon once gave this mashal when he asked this kasha. In Yom Kippur Davening, when we talk about the Asuri Harugi Malchus, and we talk again about Rabbi Shmuel, also so sad, if you just spend time and prepare the tefillah of the Asuri Harugi Malchus before Yom Tov, and then when you read it on Yom Kippur, it mamish breaks your heart. So the Malachim, when they saw how Rabbi Shmuel was tortured to death, they said, Sorfei Malach, Tzoku B'moro, the Heilige Malachim, the Holy Malachim, they cried out with bitterness, Zu Torah V'Zu Schora, this is the Torah, Rabbi Shmuel, the Tzadik Hador, and this is his reward, that he gets burned, and his skin is combed with rakes of iron. So listen what Hashem says. On Tzabasko M'Shamayim, a voice came out from Shemayim and said, Im Esh Makol Acher, if I hear one more voice, I'm going to bring back the world to Toyavoy, to emptiness. So the Vilna Gaon says, what kind of answer is that? That's a decent question. Zu Torah v'zu Schara, that's a valid question. How could you do this to the God Lador? So if Hashem says, it's not your business, fine. Hashem says, I got a cheshbon, fine. What kind of answer is this? You say, more my word, I'm going to bring back the world to Toyavoy. What does that mean? So he gives a fabulous answer. And he says like this. He tells a story of a king who wanted to have the most gorgeous suit made. Problem was, the only one who could make that suit was a Jewish tailor, and he hated Jews. What's he going to do? He wants to make the gorgeous suit, but he's got no choice. He's got to call this tailor. So he calls him in, and he says, listen, I know you're the best tailor in the country. I want you to make me a suit, then I'm going to look like $1 million. So the tailor says, Your Honor, I'll be happy to do it. I just need a certain amount of material. Give me the finest material that you have, and I'll make you the suit. And sure enough, the king gives him material, and he makes the suit. A few weeks he comes back, and the king puts on the suit, and he looks like $1 million. He looks fabulous. Everybody comes to the palace. Wow, never was there a suit like this. Here comes the queen. She hates Jews even more than the king hates Jews. She goes over to her husband. She says, Your Honor, you do look great. I got to admit that. The suit is gorgeous, but I just want you to know that the tailor is a ganav. What do you mean he's a ganav? Look at that beautiful suit he made. No, you gave him a lot of material. And he taka made you a suit, but where's all the rest of the material? He kept it for himself. He knew it was expensive. So he's a ganav. King said, wow, I didn't even think of that. You're so right. He calls back the tailor, and he says to him, I don't understand. I gave you so much material. And you go, and you make me a suit, and you keep the rest. You mamash a ganav, just like my wife said. He says, Your Honor, please, do me a favor. Take off the suit. Get on into another suit. Give me a table, a scissors. I want to show you something. King changes the suit, gives it to him, takes out a table, the guy starts cutting. He said, what are you doing? I want to show you something. He cuts the bottom of the cuffs, he sees they're double lined. He opens up the pockets and the inside, he cuts it out, he shows him they're double lined, the pockets, and the waistline is seamless, and everything is doubled and tripled, and everything is seamless, everything is so perfect. And he's taking apart the whole suit, he says, measure it. King says, what are you doing? You took apart the whole suit. He said, measure it. He measures it, he says, you're right, that's the exact measurements that I gave you. That's the exact, it's all here. He said, but you ruined the soup. He said, but at least now you understand. Said, that's what Hashem said to the Malachim, the Vilna Gaon says. You guys asking questions now? I'm going to bring back the world to the way it started. What does it say in the beginning of Bereshit? V'aretz hoysa soyu v'voyu. The world was empty. If you were with me when I created the world, then you'd understand the master plan. But you just come in the middle. You Malachim were not created at the beginning of the world, so you're asking me questions? The Chofetz Chaim once said something fabulous. He said, we say Ashrei 3 times a day, right? He says, imagine a guy comes late to shul. So there's a pasuk that says, Shemar Hashem Haskol Yavov Haskol Hashem Yashmid. Now this guy walks in late. So he hears only this. Kol Yavov V'Haskol HaRishayim Yashmid. All who you love and all the Rishayim you're going to wipe out. Hey God, what are you doing? You're wiping out. Excuse me, sir. You walked in 20 minutes late. And what about the guy who leaves early? Oh, the guy who leaves early. What is he here? Shemar Hashem Haskol Yavov Haskol HaRishayim. Hashem protects all the, who he loves and all. Hashem, what are you doing? Excuse me, sir. You died early. You didn't wait till the end of the story. How much do we live? 70, 80 years in Begvura Shemayim Shana? We don't know the whole master plan. That's what Hashem's saying. Hashem said to Eve, Eve complained, he had so many problems. Hey, for you, some of your stairs, where were you when I created the world? Hagid, you tell me, if you're so smart. In other words, one of the things that we have to learn in tshuva is to accept every situation that Hashem gives us. Every one of us here, not one, gets away with it. We're all challenged in certain ways. That's what Golus is all about. And we go through difficult matzavim. And when a person goes through a difficult matzav, either with family, or with health, or with finances, or with shidduchim, the person says, Hashem, why are you doing this to me? And a person could lose himself. And that's what the Goyen is telling us. There's a master plan. There's a whole reason why things have to happen. And what's happening is happening only because Hashem is testing you at this moment. I'll tell you something amazing. 2 years ago, a guy came to my house. He had just gotten divorced. Maybe about two, three months before when he came. And he was so despondent. He told me he had a hard time finding shidduchim. And finally he found a shidduch and the marriage didn't even last a year. And he said, I went to therapists, I went to Rabbonim, I just could not get back to myself. I was so depressed, I couldn't find myself. He said, finally one night I was listening to a CD and I heard a Rav say this thing. Listen to this. I have this now underlined in my sitter. Every morning, we make a bracha, she'asa li kol tzarkim. Hashem, you have provided all my needs. Is there anybody here who knows what are you supposed to think about when you say that bracha? Does anybody know? Shoes, right? So I ask you, shoes, is that she'asa li kol tzarkim? Is that all my needs? All my needs is if I have shoes? So the Mishnah Berurah and others explain, because without shoes, you can't go to learn, you can't go to yeshiva, you can't go to shul, you can't go to the store, you can't go to work, you can't go anyplace. Without shoes, you're grounded. That's a pshat, she'asa li kol tzarkim. So this Rav on the CD said like this. They once asked the Rebbe Rav Zisha, how do you say that bracha? You don't even own a pair of shoes. You're so poor, you don't even have any money to buy shoes. How could you say that bracha? What are you thinking when you say she'asa li kol tzarkim if you don't even have shoes? Listen to what he said. He said, imagine that there's a king who has a gorgeous suit, used to cost $1,000, and now he's selling it for $300. So you buy the suit, and it's too big. Not a problem. You go to the tailor, he takes it in, fits perfect. And what happens if it's too tight? That's no problem. You go to the tailor, he takes it out. But what if it's a pair of shoes? If the king wears size 7 and you wear size 10, there's nothing you can do with those shoes. And if the king wears size 7 and you wear size 10, then for sure there's nothing you can do with the shoes. So shoes have to be made exactly to your fit. Exactly. Otherwise you can't wear them. That's what he said. When I make the bracha she'asa li kol tzarkim, zok the Rebbe Rav Zisha, I'm thinking just like shoes have to be made exactly to a person, that matzav that I'm in right now, Hashem put me in this matzav because he's testing me. Not that he doesn't like me. He wants to see how do I relate to him in the difficult times. And the guy told me from then on, my life was back to where it was supposed to be. I realized I was in a bad matzav. I have to overcome this nisayon. I have to overcome this test with tefillah and chew and stuck or whatever. I'll overcome it and it could change. But the idea is this was made specifically for me. And that's what I think that tshuva is all about. Part of the tshuva. Knowing and accepting the fact of where we are in life and not feeling that we have to complain to Hashem. Because everything that we do, everything that happens to us is in a nisayon. How do we relate to Hashem in the good times and how we relate to Hashem in the bad times? And that's one of the ways of tshuva, believe inside. Just tell you one more thing and then we'll go to tefillah. I have a friend who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. His name is Abzev Smith. Some of you in Brooklyn know of him. He gives many, many shiurim. And so he told me that his Rebbe was Rav Mordechai Schwab, the Mashkiach in Beis Raga. Now, he used to go visit Rav Mordechai Schwab every Yom Tov. That's what it says. If you can't go B'yar L'regel, go to your Rebbe on Yom Tov. Now, one Chol Moed Sukkos, he called the family to say that he was coming. And the family said, we know that you come, but we're telling you, you came here Chol Moed Pesach. There's such a drastic change in your Rebbe. He's so sick. He's so pale. He's so frail. that we're just warning you in advance. Don't be frightened when you look at him. I said, thank you so much for telling me. And he drives up with his family. He walks into the room. Rav Schwab is laying in bed. He told me he thought he would faint. No matter what they prepared him, he couldn't imagine that this is what his Rebbe looked like. So pale, so frail. And his face registered shock. So Rav Mordechai Schwab is a perceptive person. So he said to him, he saw that he was shocked. He said, Zos Wissen, you should know, Ich leb besimcha, I'm living with happiness. So Reb Zeb said to him, what does the Rebbe mean? What do you mean you're living with happiness? He said, I couldn't go to Shul Yom Kippur. This was Chol HaMoed Sukkah. So he says, I couldn't go to Shul. I couldn't daven because I had terrible headaches and I was very weak. Who made me weak? I didn't make myself weak. Hashem gave me the headaches. Hashem gave me the weakness. If he doesn't want me to daven, I'm living Chaim B'Tzoynoi. That's, listen how he types. We say the Pasuk, Ki Regev Apa Chaim B'Tzoynoi. He says, Chaim B'Tzoynoi. I'm living the way God wants me to live. He didn't want me to learn because I have a headache. That's his problem, but that's what I'm happy with it. If that's what he wants for me, that's when I'm happy. He says, I can't learn now because I get such headaches. I can't concentrate. I didn't give myself the headaches. Hashem gave it to me. So if Hashem gave it to me, and that's how he wants I should live, Chaim B'Tzoynoi. That's what he said, Achleb B'Simcha. So a person shouldn't be broken when he goes through a difficult matzav. Thanks. A person should know that everything that happens, Hashem, it's only a nesoyin. I'll tell you something amazing. I'll tell you something amazing. You can't believe this. Somebody once went to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in Brisk, and he said to him, there was a wealthy guy. There was a wealthy guy, and he lost all his money. And they said to Rav Chaim, how could this guy lose his money? How could he lose his money? He gave tzedakah, he had guests, he was machnasar, everything. Listen to what Rav Chaim said. And I just tell you, it's in L'shichnei Sidrashu. You can take a look it up. Rav Bergman, the son-in-law of Rav Shach, wrote this. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, life is a university. What does it mean? He's talking about college? Life is a university, he says. Just like when a father sends a son to college and he passes a course, even if it was a difficult course and the guy got 100, he's got to go to the next course. He moves on to the next semester. He said, Hashem, that's not that he doesn't like this guy. He passed the course of Ashirus. He passed the course of wealth. Now Hashem is giving him the course of poverty. It's not that Hashem is angry at him. We go through different semesters when you're trying to finish life, which is a university, which is a college course. And that's how we have to look at it. We should never be broken. Just know we go through different nisyonos, but Hashem is there for us. And just because a guy's in a difficult matzav doesn't mean he's going to be that always. Anything can change. Whether it's shidduchim, whether it's finances, or family, everything can change. And a person has to just hang in there and not feel negative towards Hashem, and then things will get better. But not chas v'shalom that a person should feel that Hashem is out to get me. That's the first thing. That's the tshuva. Let's talk about tefillah. You know, there's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, and it tells us, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasois Chizkiyo Mashiach. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyo Mashiach. Then Abasko came out and said, David HaMelech gave so many praises to you, and you didn't make him Mashiach. And look about Chizkiya, he had so many victories in war, and he didn't say Shemach, he didn't say thank you enough. How could you make a Mashiach? So what do we see? You want to bring Mashiach, you got to be thankful. That's a very important midah. So you know what occurs to me? Part of the tefillah, and the tshuva tefillah tzedakah, is we have to begin to concentrate on Moedim, and saying thank you. When we daven Shemin Esrei, we cry out, Hashem, Atachon El Yadam Das, give me wisdom. I should be able to understand the Gemara. I should be able to make the business deal. I should be able to say the right thing for the right shidduch to make the nice impression or whatever. Hashem, Rufa'enu, heal me. Baruch Hachaleinu, give me panosa. We ask and ask and ask, and then we concentrate. We add extra tefillahs in certain parts of the Shemoneh Esrei. What happens by Moedim? Moedim were flying like 85 miles an hour. Pieschuli Sharei Tzedek, David HaMelech says. Open up for me the gates of righteousness. What gates? The gates of the Beis Medrash, the gates of the Beis HaKnesses. Ovoi Vom, I'm going to come there. What does it say? Oideko, I'm going to say thank you. When was the last time, Rosh Hashiva shouldn't be embarrassed, that anybody said, thank you Hashem, I have such a great Rosh Hashiva. Don't raise your hands. Right? When was the last time you said, thank you Hashem for this great yeshiva that looks at me like a total personality? That's building my personality. That I'll be changed forever because I'm here. Thank you, Hashem, that I have wonderful parents. Those of you that have wonderful parents, okay? That pay for me to be able to come here. Thank you for my siblings. Thank you, Mitzvah Hashem, you'll say for your wife. Hopefully most of you will say that. There's so many good things that go on in life and we just don't thank Hashem. A lady called me recently and she said, Rabbi Korn, I'm so broken, give me chizuk. And I'm thinking, what am I, instant coffee? You're like, you know, it's unbelievable. So, okay, I said, what's the problem? Oh, my husband is not well, and we don't have money, and my daughter needs a shidduch. So I said to her, I want to give you homework. She said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to take out an index card, and I want you to write down all the good things in your life. You have grandchildren? You have a house? You have a job? You paid your mortgage? All the good things. Everybody's got tough stuff. That's what Golus is about, as we said before. Write down the good things. Keep it in your siddur by Moedim, and that's what everybody should do here. Write down all the good things. Don't show it to anybody. It's between you and Hashem. Keep it in your siddur. Keep it in your pocket. Take it out. Just like people take out a whole list by Refa'inu or Baruch Aleinu, take out by Moedim and say thank you. There's so much to be grateful. You'll feel such a closeness to Hashem. That's part of the tshuva, tefillah. Tefillah of saying thank you. Tell you an amazing story that happened right here in Yerushalayim. There's a guy, Hananya Chalak, and he is the head of an organization called Ezer Mitzion. Ezer Mitzion is one of the greatest medical organizations. They help tens of thousands of people in Eretz Yisrael every year. They have the biggest Jewish bone marrow transplant directory. Any yid in the world who might need a bone marrow transplant, they call him, and he has the biggest directory. They give medications and they give advice. Fabulous, fabulous people. So Hananya told me, now I just want to tell you this, that some people think it happened with Rabbi Fira, who also gives medical advice, but I spoke to Fira, he says it didn't happen with me, it happened with Hananya, and I spoke to Hananya, and he told me it happened with him. So you know that it's mama straight from the source. He said a guy from Europe called him up once, and he said to him, listen, Hananya, I know you have a great organization, I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael, I want to come to your office, I want to give you money. Fine. Comes to Yerushalayim office, they meet at night. After they meet, Hananya says, you know, let's go down to Meir Beth Kaisel. You know, you're from Europe, you don't get a chance to come that often. He says, good, great idea. They get into a cab, and they go to Kaisel. Kaisel, you go there at night, it's absolutely gorgeous. They're walking down the plaza, and they see a guy by the wall, and his hands are up, and he's crying, and he's davening. They can't understand what he's saying, because they're far away, but your mom, she see the guy's heart is going out. So, Mikamcha Yisrael, Hananya turns to his friend. He said, look at that guy davening. We got to help him. So, what do you mean? He said, look, I want to make an agreement with you. If it's anything medical, I'll take care of it. But if he needs money, you ready to give him? He says, Hananya, whatever you tell me. It's fine. They go over to the guy. They wait till he finishes davening. They go over to the guy. Say, good evening. How's everything? He says, everything's wonderful. He says, no. Like, you look like there's a lot of problems in your life. No, everything's fine. He said, look, you don't know who I am. My name's Hananya Chalak. I got Ezer Mitzion. I got the biggest medical organization in Israel. Anything you or your family needs in Refuah, we'll take care of it. And if you need money, my friend in Europe, he's ready to give it. What do you need? He said, gentlemen, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything is great. I said, great. What are you talking about? It looks like the world is coming to an end. What, the way you're davening. Listen to what he says. He says, last night, my wife and I, we married off our youngest child, our 10th child. Tonight, I came to say thank you to Hashem. Isn't that amazing? That's how you say thank you. That's how you say thank you. It's unbelievable. I'll tell you an amazing thing. It's an amazing Gemara at the end of Pesachim, Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. The Gemara says at the end of time, Hashem's going to make a big Suda, and he's going to bring all the tzaddikim. Who's going to bench at that Suda, right? What a covet, right? All the tzaddikim of the world from Avram Avinu and on. So Hashem's going to say, Avram, you bench. Hashem's going to say, not me. I had a son like Ishmael, I can't bench. So Hashem's going to say, okay, Yitzchok, you bench. He says, my father can't bench because he had Ishmael. I had Esau. Okay, Yaakov, all your children, what tzaddikim, you bench. No, not me. Why not? So Yaakov's going to say, because I did something that's awesome in the Torah. When I did it, it was mutter before Kabbalah Satorah. I married two sisters. You're not allowed to marry two sisters when they're alive. If one sister is married to a guy and then she dies, you can marry the other sister. But you can't marry two sisters. I married Rachel and Leah. Hashem says, okay, Moshe, you bench. To me, this is the saddest. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I cannot bench. I was never in Eretz Yisrael. Could you imagine? Think about that. All of us here having such a great time in Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu can't bench because he was never in Eretz Yisrael. I remember one year I was here, Hashanah Rabbah, not that year, that's the other year, a few years before. So you know Hashanah Rabbah is like 20,000, 30,000 people at the Kaisel in the morning. So I went at night. I went at night because I wanted to say the whole Mishnah Torah at night. So I went with my Oscar, sit up, Chumash, you know, make sure I know all the words. I'm sitting mamish by the wall. I had a seat right up front. And I come to Ve'eschanan El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening, pleading, Hashem, please, let me come into Eretz Yisrael. And I stopped for a minute, and I started thinking, I don't believe this. I've been in Eretz Yisrael more than 15 times. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, couldn't even get there once. I started crying. I could not stop crying for Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, we think about it. We go to Eretz Yisrael like nothing, right? Going for Yadav, if we come back, and we take it so for granted. Moshe Rabbeinu, not once could he come here. He says, I can't bench, not in front of these tzaddikim. I was never in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Yeshua, you bench, right? You took the people in Eretz. No, not me. Why not? So he says, you know why? Because the first mitzvah in the Torah, Puravu, you have to have a boy and a girl. I only had girls. Not my fault, but listen, I only had the first mitzvah. I wasn't Mekayim in totality. Not Avraham, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov, not Moshe, not Yeshua. Who's going to bench? Dovra Mel says, Koy Yeshua is Esau, Uvashem Hashem, I can bench. I was thinking, what are you talking about? David HaMelech had three sons that were Rishayim. Amnon, Avshalom, Adoniyahu, two of them tried to kill him. And he had so much blood on his hands, Hashem said, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash. It's called Beis David because, you know, you gave the money for it, but you have too much blood on your hands. So what do you mean David HaMelech can bench? And I think I know the answer. You know what the answer is? What does David HaMelech say? Tzara v'yogayin emtza. What does it say afterwards? Uvashem Hashem Echa. David HaMelech said, when I had tzaris, I called out to Hashem. But you know what he also said? When I had the salvation, when I got the shidduch, I got the job, I got the kid, I got the money, I got the house, I davened the same way I davened when things were bad. And I say, what David HaMelech is teaching us, anybody who can daven when it's good, the way he davens when it's bad, such a person can bench. That's the pshat. Oidekah, that's why David HaMelech is saying, Pishchul Yishayre Tzedek Avayvam Oidekah, you got to cry by Moedim if you cry by Rafainu. If you can cry at any part of Shemoneh Esrei, you got to cry by Moedim as well. That's the tshuva we got to do. That's the tefillah part. To make a hagasha in this elo, we're going to look at all the good that Hashem does us. All the wonderful opportunities. I told my grandchildren today, you walk around Yerushalayim, today everybody's walking in the street, you think the whole world's from, right? You walk 20 minutes out of Yerushalayim and you see we're the minority. You know, you see so many guys learning here and the mirror and the base and every place. And you got all, you have millions of guys learning here. So you think everybody, you're the miyut sheba miyut. There are hundreds of thousands of guys your age that were chalish to be able to come here and learn. You have to be so grateful. You can't take anything for granted. Even the fact that you walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael, it's just unbelievable. There's so much here. There's so many great people besides the Rosh Yeshiva. You got to get to know all these people. I took my kids to Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Ramshul Levitz. There's so many tzaddikim. Get to know them, especially Ben Azmanim. Don't leave them alone. Go to their houses. Ask them the questions. Ask the same question to every godly. I told my kids, prepare a shayla. Every godly ask the same question. What's the difference? Just get them talking to you. Feel, you feel a closeness to these people. Something to be grateful for. So that's tefillah. Now let's talk about tzedakah. Tzedakah is thinking about other people, not about yourself. So I want to tell you two stories. I told you before that when I was, thank you, how'd you know? Thank you. Oh, you're a grandson, right? Very good. So you're also thirsty? No, I don't want to. Okay. Now, I told you before when I was 21, my father passed away. Now, believe me, most people don't want to take a mile when he's 21. Now, of course, when I was 21, I thought, hey, I'm old. My father died when he was 47. I thought, you know, he's ancient. But believe me, right? We could all tell you, when you get to be 47 and past, you realize how young 47 is. So I would come into a bris, and sometimes the mother or the grandmother would take a look at me. You look so young. I said, well, the baby's also young. So, you know, I have to break the ice sometimes. Now, I know that I'm on CDs and MP3s and everything here, so I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. One of the most embarrassing moments of my life, I can't believe I'm telling you this. I once came into a bris, the father took one look at me, said, you are not touching my baby. You don't know what that means. You know, I was a young kid, 22 or 23 or whatever, and you know, I'm trying to support my mother, my younger brothers and sisters, and this guy take a look at my acne, and he said, you're out of here. You know, it was awful. It was awful. Because at that moment, he had to call another mile. You know, everybody's there. But this young kid is not touching my baby. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, I got older. Like, you know, it's a mumoyver. But, you know, until it happened. So one day in shul, a guy comes over to me, Mr. Chaim Israel, and he says to me, I have something for you. And he gives me an envelope. I said, what is this? He said, open it, you'll see. It's $1,500. So $1,500, a lot of money today. In 1967, it surely was a lot of money. So, because my father was nifted in 66, you know, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and this was a few months afterwards. So I said, listen, Mr. Israel, so kind of you, but I'm not. We're not poor. We're not beggars. We don't need any money. He says, no, Chas Hashem, this is a loan. I said, a loan? So when do I have to pay you? He said, I will never ask you for the money. Whatever you want, you can pay me back. I said, okay, it's very kind. We're not going to need the money, but I have to ask my mother. If my mother doesn't accept it, then I have to give it back. He says, okay. I go home. I say, Ma, Mr. Israel just gave us $1,500. Why? We're not beggars. We don't need money. No, Ma, it's a loan. So she says, when do I pay it back? Whenever we want. He will never ask us for it. Okay, she says, on that condition, we'll take it. And we took it, and it was very, very helpful. And 2 years later, I was 23 ready. I was getting more and more. I went back to him with the money, and I tried to give it to him. He said, I'm not taking it. I said, what do you mean? Remember we had a discussion? You said it was a loan? He says, sit down. I want to tell you something. He says, do you remember when I used to be very, very wealthy? It's like an embarrassing question, but I said yes. And then he said, do you remember when I went bankrupt? That was even more embarrassing, right? Because I remember, like, the whole shul was stunned. This guy was momish, rolling in money, and then all of a sudden there were a couple bad business deals, and he had nothing. I said, yeah, I remember. He said, there was another man in our neighborhood, Mr. Lewinstein. He has a son, Danny, Daniel, who lives in Bayit Vagan. So this Mr. Lewinstein, he gave me money. And I said to him, what you said to me, I don't want any money. I'm not a beggar. He said, no, it's a loan. So I said to him, exactly what you said to me. When do I pay it back? He said, I will never ask you. Whatever you want, you can pay me back. He said, a few years later, I went to give him the money. He said, I'm not taking it. So what do you mean I'm not taking it? You're the one who said that it's a loan. He says, of course you got to pay, but don't pay me. One day you're going to find a family, and you'll know that they need the money. Give them that money that I just gave you. That's how you pay me back, by paying another family. And when they come to pay you, you tell them the exact same thing. They should pay somebody else. They should give the money to somebody else. And that's exactly what my mother did. My mother and I, that's what we did. We found another family. We gave them the money. And then when they came to pay, we told them, pass it on. So I'll just tell you an addendum just to this story, which is just interesting. Daniel Lewinstein, who lives in Bayit Vagan, called me a couple years ago. And he said, you know that my father was very special. You know what he did for you, Mr. Israel? Actually, for Mr. Israel, who did it for you? He said, you know, what's $1,500 today? It's not a lot. Could you find out all the families who got money? And the one that's going to get the money today, I'll double or triple it, because that's really money. I said, Daniel, your mama should tzaddik, but I'm not going to do it. Because I cannot call all these families along the line and this chain. It'll be so embarrassing for them. And he understood, but, you know, his heart was in the right place. But that's what chesed is all about. Not thinking only about you, but thinking about others. So I want to tell you one more thing, and with that we'll close. The other day I took some of my grandchildren. One, David is a client, so he couldn't come. I took Yael and a lot of granddaughters of my sister. We all went to Har HaMenuchos. Many, many tzaddikim are buried there. Find out where they are. Rav Moshe is there, and Rav Bill Soloveitchik. A lot of many big tzaddikim there. But I took them to a certain kever that I want to tell you about, Rav Simcha Wasserman. Rav Simcha Wasserman, the son of Rav Ochanan, had a very, very difficult life. Nebuchadnezzar, he had no children. His father was kidnapped and killed in Kovna. One year we went to Lithuania. We were mamish in that house where Rav Ochanan was taken from, and then he was killed a couple days later. And he had a yeshiva in Los Angeles. He didn't have great atzlach. And then finally came to Eretz Yisrael. And together with Rav Chodesh, they built that big yeshiva, Ar Ochanan, called after Rav Simcha's father. When Rav Simcha moved to Eretz Yisrael, he had a chavrusa named Shlomo Lawrence. Shlomo Lawrence was a chavar HaKnesset. He did so many favors for Yidden. And they used to learn every day together. So when Rav Simcha was nifter, and he was buried in Har HaMenuchos, Shlomo Lawrence said to his children, I want to change where I was supposed to be buried. We have a family plot, he says, in Har HaZeisim, but now I want to be buried right next to Rav Simcha in Har HaMenuchos. Family said, what do you mean? They have a whole family. For years and years they've been going to Har HaZeisim. Why would you want to be buried in Har HaMenuchos? Listen to what Shlomo Lawrence said. He said, you know why? Because Rav Simcha had no children. Who goes to the kever of a person? Children or grandchildren? They go to Davin. Who's going to go by his kever? Nobody. But if I'm buried next to him, when my children and grandchildren come to daven by me, they'll daven by him because they know that I'm his chavrusa. Wow. they were amazed at that idea. They begged him not to do it, but he decided he's going to do it anyway, and he took a border plot right next to Rav Simcha. Listen to this, you will not believe it. Rav Simcha Wasserman was nifter on Beis Marcheshvan, the second day of Marcheshvan. 17 years later, Shlomo Lawrence, which is the Gematria Torah, by the way, 17 years later, Shlomo Lawrence was nifter, you know what day? Aleph Cheshvan. Aleph Cheshvan is Rosh Chodesh. You can't go to a cave on Rosh Chodesh. So when do the children of Shlomo Lawrence go to the caver? Beis Cheshvan, the Yahrzeit of Rav Simcha. You just can't believe it. So you see, that's what Chesed is all about. When Hashem sees your heart is in the right place, He orchestrates it. And I showed all the kids, take a look. Right here is Rav Simcha. Right next to him was his wife. Right over there is Rav Shlomo Lawrence. And you see the dates. Then I'm going to tell you something that your mamash faint. So try to hold on. Listen to this. Rebbetzin Fegi Wasserman, you know what she said? She loved her husband. She said the whole life of marriage was like a Shana Rishana. It's incredible for a woman to say that, a woman who had no children. You know what she did? I'm telling you, I just love you guys. Yeah, I love this yeshiva. So I'm just telling you stuff. It's amazing. When they were in Los Angeles, when she was in Detroit. She was teaching in Detroit. And he said to her, I got to leave. I'm just not being matzliach. Listen to what she writes. She said, you're the only one who could stay in Los Angeles. Because Los Angeles is not yet developed. And we who have no children, we can stay there. But if somebody, a Rosh Hashiva, would have children, they would need schools for their kids. There's no schools for kids. So you're the only one who can stay there. Because we have no kids. So Hashem made it so that we should be able to build up in Los Angeles. And the Taka helped. They built the yeshiva in Los Angeles. It wasn't as successful as he would have wanted. But that was her concept. So she said, I hope that we both live to Mashiach. But if we can't, she said, I hope I die first. Because I can't live a day without my Rav Simcha. And then as she got older, she changed her mind. Listen to what she said. She said, I hope that we both live to Mashiach, but if we can't, I hope that he dies first, because I'm the only one who could sit Shiva for him. I'm the only one who could give him his covered achrayin. I told it to the kids, and I said, watch this. Rav Simcha was nifter, Beis Cheshvan. She sat Shiva 7 days, and 3 days later she died. Imagine that. Unbelievable. I showed all the kids. There was sand on the dates, but I showed them. Beis Cheshvan, Yud Beis Cheshvan. That's unbelievable. That's feeling. And that's really what Hashem wants. And that's why I named this talk Feeling Passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are a lot of ways that we can feel passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at the Netziv at the end of Parsha Shlach. It talks about everybody has his own mitzvahs. Everybody has his own way of connecting. Some in learning, some in tefillah, some in chesed. Of course, we come here, we want to learn as much as we can. Because the more we learn and the bigger Talmid Chacham we come, we are, we'll be able to accomplish more in the world, in the future. But everybody can make a connection to Hashem, and that's what Elul is all about. The days are roaring to us, but we can answer back. Remember, no matter what happened or where you come from in the past, that door is open for tshuva. Hashem should help each and every one of us. We should be able to fulfill our potential in tshuva, in tefillah, and tzedaka. Hashem will be mavir and asreya akzera. And you guys stay here. We'll all come from America, England, Canada. We'll all join you here with Mashiach. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.